U.S. House's Science Committee has approved legislation last Thursday that would authorize $2.36 billion over 3 years for nanotechnology research and development programs. The bill provides a formal structure for coordination of research across a number of agencies, including the National Science Foundation, the Department of Energy, the Department of Commerce, NASA, and the Environmental Protection Agency. The bill, the Nanotechnology Research and Development Act of 2002, which is H.R. 766, emphasizes interdisciplinary research, addresses societal concerns raised by nanotechnology, and requires outside reviews of the programs. The National Science Foundation predicts a $1 trillion global market for nanotechnology in little over a decade. The committee also approved an amendment that would require the development of a plan to utilize federal programs, such as the Small Business Innovation Research Program and the Small Business Technology Transfer Research Program, in support of the goals of accelerating the commercial application of nanotechnology innovations in the private sector. Addressing a major concern of law enforcement agencies, Cisco Systems has developed a way for police to listen in on internet-based phone calls without detection. The world's largest maker of networking equipment is testing surveillance products in its labs and making the service available to customers on request, spokesman Jim Brady said. He said Cisco has also built the capabilities into a limited number of its products, though none of them has yet been purchased. Cisco developed the Law Enforcement Control Service in response to requests from corporate customers, including internet service providers, but didn't work with the government in developing the standard over the past 8 months, Brady said. Cisco have submitted a 37-page proposal on its surveillance service to the Internet Engineering Task Force on March the 30th. The standards organization is accepting comments for 6 months. Internet phones, which turn voice signals into data packets for transmission over digital networks, have been growing in popularity. Call quality has dramatically improved, and the price is often less than a traditional call. Police, however, have expressed increasing concern that they could allow criminals to avoid surveillance. No standard exists to tap into conversations, as officials have been able to do for decades in the traditional phone system. In most cases, judicial approval is required before a line can be tapped, and Cisco said it's up to its customers to make sure wiretapping laws are followed. The surveillance service includes an auditing mechanism by a third-party provider. The so-called mediation device is meant to ensure that the surveillance complies with all laws governing interception of communications. The British telecommunication regulator Ofcom has defined the criteria for what constitutes broadband access. The watchdog's broadband market review states that a broadband service will now be defined as always on and having a downstream capability of no less than 256 kbps. A government white paper on broadband previously defined broadband as a 1 mbps service. Ofcom took the decision to define the boundaries because of the number of different services on the market, ranging from 128 kbps and up. But although Ofcom has set the 256 kbps boundary, it won't exclude 128 kbps and above services from being referred to as broadband, and will count them as broadband for statistical purposes. The regulator says that this allows the UK's broadband take-up to be compared with other European countries on a like-for-like basis. But before anyone gets complacent and thinks that the definition has been settled, Ofcom has warned that the goalposts may be shifted again as new internet access services of different speeds are created and as new broadband content develops. Protecting Europe's fast-growing electronic pay services against piracy will be an important contribution to making the EU more competitive, as 21st-century knowledge-based economies are expected to rely increasingly on electronic pay services. That's according to a report published by the European Commission. Piracy is far from a victimless crime, the report says. Legitimate users end up paying higher prices, operators can go bankrupt, and governments are deprived of tax revenue. The report assesses the implementation of the 1998 Directive on Legal Protection for Electronic Pay Services. It urges member states to work together to fight piracy, for example, through training enforcement personnel, improved cooperation between industry and enforcement authorities, and exchanging best practice information. The Commission will assist in this and consult existing and future member states in order to identify any legal loopholes, with a view to proposing further action at EU level if necessary. The report encourages providers to make its pay TV services legitimately available across EU borders, thus removing one incentive for otherwise law-abiding people to resort to pirate decoding material. The report concludes that everything needs to be done to stop and prevent piracy of electronic pay services, starting by fully implementing and enforcing existing EU law. Only if pirates don't find safe havens in Europe will it be possible to effectively combat piracy. Apple Computer's new music service could help shift the battle to control digital media away from Microsoft's proprietary file formats, according to analysts. Apple last week launched the new service, which makes a catalogue of about 200,000 songs from all major record labels available for download to a computer. Liberal licensing permissions mean the songs also can be burned to CDs or moved to portable music players such as Apple's iPod. Apple charges an average of 99 cents per song. While some record labels have called the music service an experiment, analysts see huge potential for Apple to stall or potentially derail Microsoft's own digital media strategy if, as expected, it brings the service to Windows as well as the Mac. Apple's iTunes Music Store launch comes at a significant moment for the proprietary formats that first pushed digital music onto the net. Those formats face increasing pressure from media companies eager to guarantee interoperability and reasonable licensing terms, as well as greater control over their content. The new service uses technology known as Advanced Audio Coding, or AAC, endorsed by the International Organization for Standardization, ISO, and developed by AT&T Dolby Laboratories, the Fraunhofer Institute, and Sony Electronics. AAC has won positive quality comparisons with its main competitor, MP3, but it's been kept on the sidelines in part due to licensing delays and a lack of built-in anti-copying controls. After a slow start, AAC is gaining popularity with content companies such as America Online, which recently decided to use the format in its radio AOL service in place of technology from real networks. If the iTunes move proves to be a success, AAC could win wider industry support as a download format and further complicate efforts of proprietary vendors to establish their technology as the de facto industry standard. Although MP3, MPEG Layer 3 audio, is the closest thing so far to an online digital music standard, the record industry wants security, something that both MP3 and MPEG 4 lack. MP3 also comes burdened with patents and license terms that have made it unattractive for some developers. Also, it's been challenged by newer technologies such as MP3 Pro, Windows Media Audio, and Ogg Vorbis that promises substantial improvements. MPEG 4's proposed MP3 upgrade is AAC, which proponents claim provides 30% better compression with no loss of audio quality. A supercharged version of the technology called AAC Plus, working its way through the standards process now, would improve compression rates by a further 50%. MPEG 4 has had its problems with notorious licensing hang-ups that some believe may ultimately hurt the standard's competitiveness, especially considering Microsoft's history of giving away key products and recouping its costs through sale of its Windows operating system. Apple has long taken the stance that DRM, digital rights management, is a mistake, arguing that digital locks make it difficult for law-abiding customers to access products they've paid for, but set up only minor barriers to skilled hackers. That philosophy, as well as Apple's minuscule market share, has meant that Mac users have had no access to licensed online music services prior to last week's launch of the iTunes Store. In a significant concession to the record labels, Apple agreed to embed copying controls in songs sold through the iTunes store using an in-house DRM technology it calls Fair Play. Customers are limited to burning playlists to 10 CDs, although any changes to the playlist allows an additional 10 burns. Previously, Apple had prevented iPod users from copying songs from the devices, although circumventing the restrictions has proved relatively simple. It's unclear whether Fair Play is just a stopgap to satisfy the record labels in the short run, or the start of a major new investment in DRM development from Apple. In the past, Apple executives have said they are in favour of standards-based DRM, something that isn't likely to arrive anytime soon. XM Satellite Radio made its 101 channels available to personal computer users last week, unleashing new competition for the recording industry, which is now streaming music into millions of homes via the web. The world's largest satellite radio provider began selling the $70 XM PC receiver, which connects to most PCs and lets them access broadcast from XM's two satellites. The device is available at PC Connection or directly from XM. Sky-Fi, meant to be a portable boombox, was introduced last September for XM. The first XM radio receivers ever sold were designed to replace the traditional radio receiver found inside a car's dashboard. After having spent themselves into huge debt building and launching their networks, satellite radio companies XM and competitor Sirius have been struggling to achieve the breakout success many predicted. Earlier this month, XM said it had 500,000 subscribers and was on track for 1 million subscribers by the end of this year. Sirius has about 30,000 subscribers, but believes it will be on track for more than 250,000 by year's end. In the UK, 60% of people would be more willing to vote if they could do so electronically, according to new research published by the Electoral Commission. Last week, 1.4 million people had the chance to vote electronically in the local elections on the 1st of May, after the British government increased the number of e-voting pilot schemes from 6 to 17. Now, a poll conducted for the Commission, which oversees elections in Britain, has found that 21% of voters consider polling stations too inconvenient to cast their votes. 3 in 5 indicated that if they were given the option of electronic voting, it would make them more likely to vote. Given a choice of electronic methods, 41% said they'd like to vote over the internet, 33% would choose text messaging, and 26% would use digital TV. In a separate poll, 51% of people aged 18 to 34 said they would be more likely to vote if they could do so online. And finally, the arrest of 3 men in Sydney last week for criminal charges relating to online music piracy has been described as the first prosecution of its kind. 3 computer science students face the possibility of 5 years in jail and or a $60,500 Australian dollar fine for their involvement in a hobby that the police allege was taken too far. While the men are set to appear in Sydney's Downing Centre local court in mid-May on charges of criminal breaches of copyright, those assisting the Australian Federal Police said more charges against the 3 were likely to emerge. The charges were the result of an investigation into a website known as MP3WMAland. The site allegedly attracted millions of online visitors from around the world and, according to the police, held illegal MP3 files worth $60 million Australian dollars in lost revenue to record companies such as Universal Music, Sony, Warner, BMG, EMI and Festival Mushroom Records. The Federal Attorney General, Darrell Williams, congratulated the Federal Police and the music industry on their cooperation. And that's News Briefs for this week.